I'm just laughing because both Libby and I have struggled to get on stage this morning. And I can't speak for you, but I think I'm just at that age where I make noises when I sit down. So like if you ever sit near me, when I'm descending to the chair, it's like, oh, old man noises, I'm there.
I mean, I've started going to the gym, so I think that's why I'm achy.
Fantastic. You don't need to know any of that, do you? That's not what you came for. What we'd love to do is just start every year. We started last year like this, and we think this is a good pattern. Just to reflect on the year that's been and what we sense for the year coming ahead. And what we've done as well, do this in your own time, but on your seat you'll find a printout leaflet with just the same reflection questions that we're going over today. And I'd encourage you across this week, take those away, whether you're someone who journals or makes notes on your phone, go through those questions and have some time to reflect and pray on the previous year and the coming year for yourself. No doubt some of you will be familiar with this. And then also when you meet in your small groups, use these as talking points and reflection points. But we're gonna jump into it. I'm out of breath as well. I think actually I need to make a New Year's resolution. I've not made any yet. Who believes in New Year's resolutions? That's one person, two people. Fantastic. I believe in New Year's goals. Maybe I need to make it a goal to not be out of breath on stage. Why don't you talk for a little bit? Yeah, let's do it. We're going to go through these questions. Libby and I are going to reflect and have a little chat. We've both been spending some time praying over these past couple of weeks. And let's get into it. Let's look back on 2024. What a year.
So the first question that we thought we would reflect on, and I'd encourage you to reflect on as well, is what did you find most challenging about 2024? And what did the Lord teach you through the process?
I feel like my challenge of 2024 is quite easy, and it's all evident to you this morning. I didn't take care of myself that well physically. but really, it was interesting because last year, if you were with us in January 2024, we started the year looking at the well-being series. Who remembers that? Yeah, there's a sweet irony I feel in looking at the well-being series. One of the things I reflected on was emotional well-being and mental well-being. And Libby and I have talked a little bit about times when we've gone through different counselling, how that's helped us unravel past reflections. Particularly for me, I had quite a fractured childhood, lived between two homes, and so it was really good as a process. But what happens is when you go through something like the well-being series, because there's like six or seven aspects to look at, aren't there? Is that often you hone in on one, and the danger of that is you neglect the others. And so I found one of my biggest challenges, and I kind of hit it in autumn, is that because I was so overconfident in my emotional well-being that I wasn't aware how tired I was. So I hit a bit of a wall where I had quite a low moment. My morale was low, and there was nothing like necessarily wrong. Like there was nothing going wrong. Everything was fine. And I was even saying to you, Libby, like I feel like there's no reason to feel how I feel, but your feelings don't really care about what's going on, do they? You ever found that? Just how you feel is how you feel. It's not right or wrong, it just is. And so there was a couple of weeks where I found myself in a complete stupor. I'd hit a wall, my morale had disappeared, and I was like, gosh, this is like it's such a weight, and I didn't see it coming. And so I think I was probably more tired than I was aware of. I didn't see how my energy levels were low, didn't see that I wasn't maybe taking care of my sleep. And it's all of these little things that add up over time. Have you found that? When you found yourself in a low moment or tired or on the edge of burnout and you realize it's not even necessarily just one thing, it's about 20 things that have just been even neglected or you've taken your eyes off them or you've not paid attention to them. And so I think paying attention to my physical and emotional well-being, I think some of those patterns had just gone out of the window. And so all of that accumulated for me to be like quite a challenging moment. And so doing what the Lord has called me to do, I find that stuff quite tank-filling and energizing. And I think when you're responding to what God is saying, that's a great thing. But that doesn't mean that you won't get burnout. It doesn't mean you won't get exhausted. I remember Brother Yun. Have you heard of Brother Yun, the heavenly man? Wrote a book out of underground China and was ministering the gospel in China. And he came to see us back when we were in Lincoln once, and we spent a little bit of time with Brother Yun. And it was really cool just hearing these stories. But the thing that stuck with me with the most from what he said was that he was ministering to a load of church leaders in the underground church in China, like one of the hardest places to be a Christian. You can lose your freedom, sometimes lose more than just your well-being, right, if you proclaim the gospel there. And he was talking to them about burnout, and he was talking to them about how they need to pay attention to some of those just subtle underlying things that sometimes get neglected. And I found that profound, like no matter where you are, what context you're in, who you are, the same rules apply because we're human beings. And so, yeah, my biggest challenge is just paying attention to some of those little subtleties. What about you? What's been your challenge of 2024?
So I think for me, it's quite similar. I mean, so 2024 was our first full year in Sutton, which feels a bit weird because it feels like we've been here so much longer, but at the same time has really sped by. And one of the things that I try to do kind of periodically throughout my adult life, really, is to have different times where I chat with a counsellor, because I find in different seasons, at different points in my life, it's not necessarily that I've hit crisis, but I think it's important to process with someone kind of what's going on inside. And it's something I'd encourage anyone and everyone to do, actually. But I think I had a pretty good self-awareness before starting this particular journey with my counsellor. But it really challenged me more than I thought it would, because it challenged me to continually assess how I balance life. And I don't think anyone has a completely perfectly balanced life, right? I don't think anyone has got that sorted. If you have, please tell me how you do it.
Great to chat to you at the end of the service. Just tell us how you get all of that perfection going. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. But one of the things that I've been challenged in towards the end of last year was that I have a bit of a tendency towards being a bit of a perfectionist. I don't think anyone else in the room that's like that, but that's one of the things that really drives me. And what God's been speaking to me about through that journey of counselling is that he doesn't necessarily want or need perfection in everything, and we shouldn't expect that necessarily of ourselves either. Giving our best is enough, even if sometimes we feel that it might not be. So that's been probably the biggest personal challenge of this year for me. And I'm continuing that journey. So I think I'm looking forward to more challenge from my counsellor in the coming year, I think. Yeah.
So what about the next one then? So there's always a challenge to every season, every part of life. But with that, there's always fruit, there's always reward. And so we also want to count our milestones of achievements, whatever we would define as achievement, whatever you'd define as a success. That's probably not obvious for everybody. That's something you need to drill into. But did you see a breakthrough last year? What would you count as a success of 2024?
Yeah, so one of the things we've been talking a lot about as a church is extending the table. And one of the things that I've just been really encouraged about is all of the stories we've been hearing of people doing that in their own spheres, in their own lives, people inviting neighbours over, people chatting with people in gyms, or inviting people and extending the table to friends that kids' parents at sports clubs and things like that. And it's really encouraged me that actually what we're talking about here and the breakthrough we're seeing here on a Sunday is extending into our everyday. And that's been something that's really encouraged me.
I think one of the things that I was blown away was, I don't know if you caught it, was it around the summer, Hannah, where we did our impact report? We did a little bit of a show on the impact that we've had as a church, and we tried to quantify the numbers. Maybe it was around September. Jake Mills was great. He produced a graphic for us where we quantified, like, as a community, so all of us together, as a community of believers, what impact have we made on our local area? And I think the monetary value alone, let alone time, effort, connection, was, like, well over £100,000 of value. I think it's, like, 130 grand or something. I need the actual number, so don't quote me on that. But it was significant. Do you remember that when we shared that? It was such a powerful moment to say, actually, that we're not just meeting together on a Sunday, we're not just having, like, a nice time together, but actually, for those of us who are loving our community and for participating in the life of the church, that we are making a difference. We are having an impact on our wider community. And that wasn't just things like our community outreach projects, things like Lighthouse and Warm Welcome, but also just the way in which that we're naturally drawing people into the goodness of God that we have in our lives. One of the things that we hear all the time is just the way in which people feel welcome when they connect with our church. When they meet any one of you guys, they get this sense of love. And I think a real celebration was just to take stock as a church and go, wow, look at all of the cool things that are going on. And was anyone else surprised by some of the things you just didn't know about the life of our church? that you thought, oh, it's just really interesting to see that laid out and when we talked about it? For me, that was, and that's not even like my achievement, that's like our achievement. It's just that all of us are playing a role in that. All of us are a part of that. And as you said, one of the phrases that the Lord really showed us almost 2 years ago now was this idea of extending the table to the least, the lost, the near and the far off. And that means creating space for people. That means inviting people into what we do. Now, if you had a Christmas meal, who actually had to host Christmas this year? I say had to, get you got to. You got the great privilege of hosting Christmas. Did anyone burn the food? You were good. You got perfect roasties. You got the recipes online. And what you did was you extended your table, didn't you? You created more space. My sister cooked an awesome Christmas dinner, and she always lays the space, and there's always extra people that we don't expect to be there that sometimes turn up, and there's always enough food to go around. And what that is, it's extending the table, and we're doing that emotionally. We're doing it spiritually. We're doing it practically sometimes. But I think that's a real blessing, and it's really something to be thankful for. That actually, as we worship together, there's fulfillment in the presence of God, isn't there? That we grow, we get to come into to the house of the church, and we get to worship it in a great sense of freedom. The Lord adds to us continually, but actually, it's not just for us; it's for, to be poured out to others. That whatever goodness we've got going on in our lives isn't just for us. The Bible calls us to be fruitful. So one of the things that we often talk about is in Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things are actually things that are for other people. Like a tree produces fruit for other people. A tree generally doesn't eat its own fruit. It produces fruit so that other people can eat of it. And if the fruits of the Spirit, if you want to push the fruit analogy, those good things you've got going in your life, that's fruit for that someone might experience your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your faithfulness. And your self-control if they make you angry or the like. So I think for me, that's not my achievement. I think that's everybody's achievement. I think that was just something worthy of celebration, worthy of noting that actually we're so grateful for our faith. We're so grateful for the way in which we can meet the privileges that we carry. But actually, they're not for us. We're blessed to be a blessing. They're for others. They're to be extended. And so I think we want to keep that at the forefront. I don't know about you. I think we should keep that at the forefront of our attention. I know we're not looking forward yet, but looking forward, I think that's something to latch on to, that actually who is around us that do not yet know of the great things that happen, not just in this space on a Sunday, but in the whole church, that need to experience, that need to taste and see of those good things.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So all of our experiences shape and can even grow us. How have your experiences of 2024 shaped you?
Oh. Now, I think no matter what, you can learn from every situation and every circumstance. And so I had a friend who used to coach football years and years ago in Gloucester. And he would say, like, you can learn from everything. And this is something I picked up from him. And he had a coach that was terrible. So this coach would, like, coach teenagers, bearing in mind, so, like, kind of kids that really need a morale boost. And this coach would come in, and every time they played football, he would just berate them. And he would tell them everything they've done wrong. He would criticize every single move. And he would offer no tips for improvement. He would offer no encouragement. He would offer no suggestions on how to win a game. He would just tear them down. And my mates said, I remember just looking at him and going, even you, I can learn from you. I can learn what not to do. And I thought that was quite a powerful lesson. So actually, there's something to learn in every season if we're paying attention, if we're teachable people, if we've got open hearts, we can go, I can learn something from this situation. And I think stepping into the role of senior pastor, that's something that's definitely stretched and it's grown me in so many ways. But one of the things I've realized is the things I was frustrated at with my old senior pastor in Lincoln, who I kind of ministered under, I now get. And I think there's just like a sweet irony about that. So like Dave Wade was the senior pastor in Lincoln, still is. And so Dave and Sean, we would sit with them, and both you and I are doers. We're very practical people, and we poured a lot into helping the church thrive. And we would be very decisive because we had to be decisive in those roles. And Dave used to be incredibly patient with people that I think he just needed to be way harsher with. Right. I think he needed to put them in their place, or he needed to tell them how it is. And I was kind of a bit maybe gung-ho looking back. But like now sitting in the senior pastor seat and journeying with people and having a bigger picture often of people's lives, I now get it. And it's really funny when I go back and I kind of apologise to him every time I see him for the amount of times I was a bit of a pain for him, because he was carrying a weight. And he would say things, this really used to annoy me, right? He would say, Julian, unless you're sitting in the seat of the senior pastor, you'll never know the pressure. You'll never know the emotional weight. You'll never know the spiritual weight. And I was leading a campus at the time. I'd been a senior, interim senior pastor for a year at a very interesting and challenging church, because we used to support a lot of churches. And I used to think, no, I do get it. I understand what the pressures are. I didn't. And so, like, I have to eat a lot of humble pie when I see with him. So I sit in this role. And sometimes it's not even, like, practically anything's different. It's not even, like, a different skill set is required. I think sometimes it's just that you go to sleep and you wake up with, I don't know if you found this, but you go to sleep and you wake up with a different burden. You're praying for people. You're mindful of so many situations and you're journeying with people. And obviously we've got our own stuff going on, right? We've got a family, we've got a life. And but you carry all of that. And I think ultimately there's a danger in which you feel responsible for everything. And we've worked really hard at going, do you know what? It's Jesus's church. And so I find there's like an immense relief, because actually people have personal responsibility, right? I'm just going to put it out there. You guys all have personal responsibility. Like, we all have our own journey of faith to walk, and we're encouraging one another and we're moving in the same direction. But ultimately, like, we do, you know, we have such a burden to pray and love people. And so sometimes you carry that and it's just hard to know without sitting there. And so I always just say sorry to Dave. And that's the thing that's probably impacted me the most. I think that's grown me personally. It's stretched me. But I can't imagine wanting it any other way.
Yeah, I think similarly for me, I think when you're stretched and when you're grown in whatever circumstance, whether that's in a role, whether that's in a family situation, I hope that that's building me up, and I hope that that's stretching me to be a better mum, leader, friend, wife, insert whatever description describes you there. And I just hope that I'm better at those things today than I was this time last year. And I'll hopefully be better next year than I am right now. And that's just something that I try to reflect prayerfully on in different areas of life. We're never going to be perfect. It's a continual journey of growing and learning. But I believe that our experiences really can grow us when we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and encourage us and shape us. Romans 12 verse 2 is a verse that many of us in the room will know, but I was reading it in different versions, and I particularly liked how the Amplified version put it, and it says this: "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." And I really love the phrase that it uses there, "I'm progressively changed." Like, I hope in my life and for all of you as well, I pray that we'll be progressively changed towards who God is. We're made more and more like Jesus each day in each situation. And so that's my hope and prayer for this year.
I think I'm really challenged by, like, the ongoing transformational nature of that word. And so I'd encourage you as well, when you come to that question around impact, because some of you will be looking back on 2024 and you'll be thinking, it's been a tough year. Like, it's been really difficult. There'll be, for some of you, like a high sense of loss. For some of you, there'll be a high sense of breakthrough and everything in between. And the danger is, like, we can look at some of those tough moments of the year and go, I really want to just move past that. But equally, actually, there's a progressive transformation that happens. Like, what is it that even in those tough moments can the Lord teach me? And maybe you've not had time to sit with that. And it might be a difficult thing to do, but actually to take a week or a few different days, you look back and go, hey, Lord, help me to see your hand. Help me to see your goodness in some of those moments. And actually, what does it mean to be continually transformed by what God is doing? And have you ever found this, when you look back over a year, you realize there's more that's gone on than you've ever imagined? Or maybe, like, there's just some things that you've dismissed or you've forgotten, because it's like the day. We don't live in the high and low moments, do we? Actually, we live in the mundane and the boring moments. That's like 90% of the year. Like, you'll no doubt you'll have had maybe like a spectacular holiday or like a really difficult family moment, or you'll have had a great celebration. But those are like the highs and lows of life. But actually, Monday through Friday through Saturday and beyond into the next week, it's actually just cleaning your teeth. that's something that should happen every day. It's just having a shower, it's getting up, it's making breakfast, and actually even in those moments, that's just the routine. Okay, Lord, what are you teaching me even through those slow moments? Actually, I know, Lord, you're working on me. I know your Holy Spirit is transforming me. And sometimes it's a little bit like baking something in the oven. It doesn't look like anything's going on. But the Lord's continually working us, even when it seems like nothing's happening, even when it seems like we just started today. I'm just going through the routine. I'm going through the motion. The Lord's working on us.
Absolutely. And it's the patience in that is hard, right? Like the other day, I was doing some baking with Judah, and we were just baking cakes, but he had to wait like a whole 20 minutes for the cake. And that
jumping up and down,
staring
like
at
overly
the cake
excited, willing the heat to go faster.
Absolutely. But there's a bit in the middle of baking that's just really boring.
Yeah.
Like waiting for the cake to rise is really boring, but it's essential to be able to enjoy the cake at the end of baking. And I mean, that's all Judah's in it for. All he wants to do is eat the cake. But
so, you know, that's a question. What are the good things that the Lord's baking into your life? That they need to take some time to rise. They need to take some time to come to fruition. And like, I want it now. I don't know about you. Who opened their Christmas presents early? Come on. The Bible says confession's good for the soul. There's some of you in the room. You did it. You didn't wait till Christmas Day. You had like an open it. There you go. You've got presents, so you open early. But we don't like to wait. Like the exciting things, we want them to now happen now. But the Lord needs to cook something within us. I'm going to push the analogy as far as I can. The Lord needs to bake something into our lives. Like, it's got to take a while for things to come to fruition. I mean, think about like Joseph in the Bible. If you're familiar with that story, Joseph gets a dream and then he stupidly tells his brothers about it. And he shouldn't have done that because the dream's about him like ruling his brothers. And he's the youngest. So that like, if anyone who grew up with brothers, that's not a good idea. And so they throw him down a well. Little bit extreme. But that's what they do. He finds himself in prison, but it's like 20 years for the dream that the Lord gave him to come to fruition. I think sometimes there's a lack of patience, but what is it that the Lord has been doing in us that maybe we've not been paying attention to, that's subtle and it's underlying? So looking forward then, we're in 2025. Can you believe it? It feels like a hallmark because it's like a quarter of a century, 25. Only that not long ago, we were panicking about Y2K and planes dropping out of the sky. And we're 25 years on from that. But actually, what is it the Lord has got in store for this year, actually? What are the things that we're expecting for? And one of the things that we started this year with was my one word. And so some of you have got this. If you're in a small group, you'll have got an invite to do a Bible reading plan with us called My One Word, which we started on the 1st of January. It finished yesterday. And there's about 50 or so of us that did that. And it was just this opportunity to pray into one word. And you can still do this, by the way. If you miss the plan, you can still go home and do this. But pray into it. Lord, what is one word for the year that I can be praying into? And I was really challenged by this devotion because it wasn't even like one phrase. I wanted a sentence, really, or a paragraph. But the challenge was, no, you're allowed one single word. Actually, Lord, what is that word for me? And prayerfully consider, how will that carry you across 2025? And so this question is dead easy. Libby, what is your one word?
So my one word for the year is going to be intention. And I think it will probably mean something different to me in different seasons. But I've just been really challenged to not fill life to being busy for the sake of being busy, but to have purpose and intention behind the different things that I'm doing. And that's not necessarily just in terms of work, it might be family, but being intentional about how I spend my time and what I do, even in terms of like what I do recreationally, being intentional about what it is that I'm doing and how I'm spending my time. I think I've felt particularly challenged about doom scrolling on Instagram. Anyone else? Because that just seems to eat up time. And so intention for me is something that I think is going to be important for this year.
I don't know. I quite like a doom scroll. Like, you shouldn't. It's a guilty pleasure. It's just like a great way. No, you shouldn't. It's not a good thing, actually. There's loads of stats on it saying it's not a healthy thing, too. But if you don't know, doom scrolling is when, like, I don't know, this happens to me. I don't really go on Facebook, but when I do, I'm, like, going to check a message. And for some reason, I now find myself in the videos scrolling.
An hour later.
I'm learning about, how to correctly pave a garden. And then I'm learning about quantum physics because this is what the algorithm gives me.
Mine's usually like funny cat videos.
Yours is funny cat videos. It'd be really interesting to see them on the screen, right, at difference between what we're looking at. But then you find yourself 3 hours have gone by and you've learned nothing, you've done nothing, and then you think, oh, why was I here? I was supposed to message so-and-so. It's amazing how that happens. Like, you shouldn't like it. It's not a good thing. Mine, I've been praying about for a little while. I think this is a word for the church, and it's also a word for me, but it really began as a word for the church. And the word was expectation. Just this word of expectation, that actually God was stirring me to lean into this sense of faith, that faith begins in the place of expectation, that often for us to operate in faith, for us to walk in faith, we have to have a sense of, I really believe God is going to do something. I really believe that the promises are true. I really believe that he's taking me into what he said he would take me into. And that begins with expectation. I expect him to make good on his word. That's actually a fair expectation of God, that if he said it, he'll be faithful. Like, God is incredibly faithful, isn't he? Like, I keep a prayer book, and there's some things I've prayed about which is just absolute nonsense. And I look back and I go, God didn't answer that prayer. But then I was praying for an Audi A4 with 67,000 miles on the clock for free. And that wasn't answered by the Lord. But that was a throwaway prayer. The Bible says he'll give you desires of your heart. But often those desires actually need to align with his will and purpose. But actually, he's been incredibly faithful in taking care of me. He's been incredibly faithful in bringing me to his promises at the right time. I think about every good thing that we have before us. And I think about the way in which we've just met so many wonderful people in this church. We've seen so many beautiful stories in your lives, just the way that God has been working in you. And those are the things that really matter, right? What does the Bible say? These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And when I think about achievements, when I think about goals, like, all of those really need to walk towards those purposes. And that begins, I'm just expecting that God will continue to be faithful. I'm expecting that God will continue to provide for his church. I'm expecting that he'll care for us. I'm expecting that he'll speak to us when we're slightly off course or when we're entirely off course. I'm expecting that we'll love one another with the love of Christ. I'm expecting that he'll do a great work in our heart. I'm expecting that he'll heal people. I'm expecting that we'll see people come to know Jesus for the first time because they're lost. I'm expecting that the love of Christ will be on display when people who are new just come amongst us and experience what church is. Some of them will have never stepped foot into a church before. But I'm expecting when they come into this place, they'll find the presence of God. And I'm expecting to be a part of God's great story as he leads us into this year. And so I'm starting with great expectations. My mind goes to wordplay straight away. So this sense of God's got it, right? And I talked last year about the inevitability of God. Some people who know me really well would just think there's not a lot that really rocks me or throws me. That's obviously not true. But I do think, in the grand scheme of life, I just think, like, God generally gets what God wants. And I trust him, and I trust that his hand is upon my life. I trust that his hand is upon his church. I trust that his hand is upon your life. Even when you can't recognize it, I think God is faithful. He's called that so many times throughout the Bible. He is faithful, never wavers, never lets us down. And so I want to lean into that. And I just, as I was praying for it, the word for the church, the Lord said that's also a word for you, Julian. And so I've taken those two things, one for the church, that will be a church of expectation. We'll expect God to be who he says he is, to do what he says he will do. And that we'll have proof and evidence in our stories and testimonies, but also in my own life. I want to be a part of those stories. I want to see by this time next year, we were just expecting God for more, and he just exceeded expectations.
Expectation's a really exciting word, I think. Like, when I'm thinking about expectation, I feel really excited about it. Because I'm also expecting, like, continued growth. Last year we talked a lot about deeper and depth, and that doesn't stop. I'm not expecting that to stop. That's something that's continual, that no matter how long we've been following Jesus, whether we've been following Jesus a week or for 50 years, for our whole lives, there's still so much more to know. In Isaiah 55, verses 8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that's really exciting, because even the things we're expecting, God's so much bigger. And God allows us closer and deeper into his presence, even though we might not ever fully understand him in this life. And that's a really beautiful thing. So my hope, my expectation for this year is that we continue to go deeper in intimacy with God. And with that comes that deeper expectation of what he's going to do among us as a community, as Sutton Vineyard, but also individually in each of our lives as well.
We're going to run short of time, but no, we're not. We're going to run long of time. That's the complete opposite of what I was saying. So I don't want to labour this too much, but actually one of the things I've written down on that leaflet for you is a question of dreaming beyond. And so there's a quote from Bill Gates. Most people overestimate what they can achieve in 1 year and underestimate what they can achieve in 10 years. Now, don't think of it in terms of achievement, but actually, what are we trusting God for? Not just in 2025, but actually, what is it that he's setting us up from beyond? When you reflect on your life as a whole, you'd be thinking, actually, the Lord carried me from milestone to milestone. But what is it that you're believing for right now? What are the dreams that he's placing inside of your heart? And I think it does come back to this final word that we would just put on screen, expectation. What are you expecting God for? And it's okay to be bold with that. It's okay to be, if I'm not unsure, but actually writing something down. I think it's easier to steer a moving ship. That's the analogy. So actually, if I put something down, even if it's not, doesn't necessarily feel like it's an audible word from the Lord, but having something in a sense of, oh God, I'm going to trust and believe this for this year from you. I'm going to look out for this year. And that might be, Lord, I want to see a family member come to know you. Lord, I want to see healing in a particular area. I want to see breakthrough in a particular area. And it can be arbitrary. What I find is that as I go, the Lord directs my steps. And I think that's the place of expectation, that we want to be a church of expectation. And that expectation simply means, I just know that as I go, the Lord will guide me. The Lord's hand will be upon me. I'm expecting him to lead me. And so maybe that's the thing to lean into. Maybe it's the one word, and some of you have already done that. Or maybe it's that you're facing down a particularly difficult year and you need breakthrough in a particular area. Actually, I'm just going to expect that God will be who he says he will be. I expect that he will show up. I expect that he will be faithful. But I'd encourage you to be bold this year. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to spend some time in worship. But even as we begin to worship, maybe just ask the Holy Spirit to start to stir your heart. Actually, God, I want to have stories of faith. Next Sunday, we've got Stories Sunday, where we're going to be sharing a few different stories of what God has been doing in people's lives. But actually, this year it could be, oh Lord, I want to see the story of faith grow over this year. I want to be someone who can walk into 2026. That feels jarring to say right now. But actually, Lord, in a year's time, I want to dream beyond our current circumstance. You know, one of the things we're celebrating is the way in which our church is being a light in a dark place. Actually, there's a taking a note that we, along with other churches, aren't just sat in the corner minding our own business. We're playing our role in society, and we're a part of the story of transformation, hopefully, of our borough. Hopefully, there'll be a legacy over the coming decades about that. But actually, our expectation is that God will work his good work through our lives, that we will have a story of faith, that we will come out, even if we're like the Revenant, crawling into 2026 with blistered hands and our hair on fire. It will be with a load of stories of faith, of how we've brought people with us, how we've ministered the gospel and the good news, how we've seen breakthrough, how we've overcome, how we've seen God move, how we've trusted him in ways, how we've been disappointed and actually had to reconcile that and realize that God was maybe doing something and we were just on the wrong path. He's redirected us. That often can happen. But would you begin this year with expectation? Would you stand if you're able? Let's spend some time in worship, but I encourage you, make that a prayer. Father, as we begin to worship you this morning, as we begin to trust you and rely upon you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in a place of worship, in an attitude of faith, we expect you to move, because you said you will. You sent your Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor. And so, Holy Spirit, would you minister to us as we worship you, as we sing songs that draw our attention to you, that lift your name high, that glorify you, that you'll begin to lift our hearts along with those songs. Lord, you will begin to stir something within us. Lord, would you give us a burden for that person in our family, that person in our life that is far from you. Lord, may we have an expectation that we'll be able to minister your goodness to them and see stories of faith come to fruition over this coming year in Jesus' name. Amen.